there's something about that water, isn't there, sister? Oh, and you know what? No matter how many feet we get away from that water, he keeps bringing us back. That's the good news. Man, I'm so excited about this one. Honestly, I don't even know where to begin. I want to begin where I did in the first service. But how do you do that? John, if you can cut that air for just a second. I can't believe we're saying we have air conditioning on. I've got a well here, and I've got something I want to pull out of the well, but we got to start with this guy who shows up to church one day and gets saved. It was the Sabbath day, and Jesus shows up at this mikvah, this place called the Pool of Bethesda. The Pool of Bethesda is interesting because archaeologists have dug this thing up. They found it. It's awesome. It has five colonnades. It's separated. It's in the shape of a trapezoid, and there's two parts. There's the mikvah, the part with the steps going down into this water in this pool, and then the second half of this thing has extra water, to kind of clean water that goes in to wash out the dirty water. And they found it, and it's awesome. You know what's amazing about this story? There's a man 38 years sitting here waiting to get in the water because one of the most miraculous things is somebody stirring the waters up, and if he could just get in there, he's going to get his life changed. It's not even that, but when Jesus heals him, he goes, and the Pharisees are so angry. Who did this at church? The last thing we need is people going to church and getting healed. And they made a law. Apparently, too many people were interrupting Sonia's singing and Pastor Justin's introduction. And, I mean, we know when the video's coming on at the offering and we get our, you know, checks out. And somebody gets up in the service and gets saved and healed. Well, we've got to pass a law. Nobody does this on the Sabbath. People getting healed on the Sabbath is going to ruin everything. We've got a great thing going here. It's called a religion. And we got a structure, and the pastor gets up here, and the music person gets up here, and the announcements are here, and you get up here, and you go out there. We don't need people getting saved and healed in church. You're messing things up. Makes me feel uncomfortable. People pass the dumbest laws, don't they? I'm serious. I looked up a couple of laws that have been passed in the United States. And you're not going to believe these, but these are true laws on the books. In Pennsylvania, there's a penalty for cursing. You can be fined in the state of Pennsylvania for using foul language. It's 45 cents. Unless you use God in it, then it's 67 cents. Someone first ever said, well, that ought to fix everything. We ought to have all kinds of money. 45 cents for cursing. And if you use the Lord's name in vain, it's 67. How did they come up with 67 cents? That's a weird number. But in Pennsylvania, apparently this was a problem. Well, in Seattle, Washington, there's a law. It's unlawful for goldfish to ride on a bus unless they lie still. You know, somebody's on a bus going, this is a real problem. You have goldfish. They went somewhere to the city council and said, we need laws against stuff like this. I mean, they really did that. I know, it bothers me too. In Michigan, there was once a law, I don't know if it's still on the books, requiring that we take a census of the bees every winter. Really, this has to be a law? In Lansing, we've got to sit around going, we're just not counting the bees. I don't know about you, but in the winter in January, one, I'm not counting them. Two, where are the bees in the winter in Michigan? Because the bees have gone south. In Mississippi, you'll like this. In Mississippi, there's a law against elephants drinking beer. Now think, if there's a law that elephants aren't to drink beer, apparently there was an issue with elephants being drunk in Mississippi. We got to have a law. Look at an elephant. You know? We're going to get some legislation. We're going to do this in November. We're voting on this. And what was the vote? Was it close? Were there people out there with picket signs going, no, let the elephants drink? I'm not trying to be. These are laws. I mean, this is what our government sits around and does sometimes. In Hollywood, California, there's an ordinance that forbids driving more than 2,000 sheep down Hollywood Boulevard at the same time. So 1,999 sheep are going down there. Oh, yeah, you're fine. Keep on going. One more sheep, we're going to write you up. I mean, who sits around doing this stuff? We can handle 1,000 sheep down this street, but you better not go over the limit. Muncie, Indiana, just right down the road here. It's against the law to take your fishing tackle into a cemetery. Why did we have a problem with this? Guys are out there. Whew. Guys walking by. You get anything? We need to pass a law. What were they getting that they had to make that illegal? These are laws. California prohibits the shooting of any animal from an automobile except for whales. There's a hunting trip. We're going down the road. We can't shoot out of our car, but hey, there's some whales. Load it up. California. Minnesota. In Minnesota, there's a law that requires men and women's underwear not to be hung up on the same clothesline at the same time. Now, personally, I think that's a pretty good law right there. I don't know what the issue is, but they're from Minnesota. And then finally, right down the road here in Joliet, Illinois, and you'll like this one. I know in first service, there was a guy that got saved, sanctified, and slain in the spirit over here. Joliet, Illinois, women are not allowed to try on more than 6 dresses in a store. That's against the law. Can I get a witness, gentlemen? Yeah. Amen. People make these laws. And there was a law that said, hey, if you're going into church and you got a problem, you're in a bad place in your life, too bad, come back tomorrow. There's no healing at the church today. It's against the law. That's ridiculous. If you can't go to church and find hope, if you can't go to church and find healing, if you can't go to church and at least gather together on the Lord's Day and say, I'm going there because I'm in a dark place 38 years of my life. If I can't find a place, then where am I going to find that drink of God's love? And so we've got the well today. And I want you to know something. Here at Grace Ministry Center, you have freedom to appoint here, okay? Let me just be clear. Sometimes people come in. There's a wonderful gentleman that just, I mean, people are driving by, they see our signs, they pull up, they come into church. I don't know about you, but that's kind of a scary thought. Who drives down to a mall where we've boarded up the windows, we lock them in, and we turn the lights off? What are you guys doing here? Right? I want you to know, here at Grace Ministry Center, you have the freedom for what God wants to do in your life. We believe in healing. We believe in deliverance. We believe in worship. We believe that God wants you to shake things up in your life. And so in this thing, there's a few things I want you to know. So I'm going to go to the well, and I'm going to pull out my shaker because we need to shake it up. It says, and you see, your Bible doesn't say it, but in verse 4, the first thing it says in your Bible in verse 4, look at your Bible. It says in chapter 5, verse 4. Oh, it's not in your Bible. Yours goes, well, there's verse 3 and there's verse 5. This isn't in your Bible. Because in 1611, in the King James translation, when they were using, you know, we have the two translations. We have the Elizabethan and the Byzantine. And that means nothing to you unless you actually studied to know, I want to know about this Bible. Is it true? As so many people tell me today, well, your Bible is just not true. And these are Christians, by the way, that tell me the Bible's not true. 51% of Christians surveyed do not believe the Bible is true. I wonder how that makes you a Christian, but... So here it is, John 5:4. Well, why? Because in 1611, they had one translation. We found so many more documents. There's over 300,000 archaeological documents proving that the Bible is true. It is the greatest resource, the most accurate resource ever written and penned, not by men, but by the Holy Spirit through a man's hand. And it has been proven over and over again. I tell you, you won't find literary work like this anywhere in all of history. If you want to have that discussion, I can give you some information, or you just go buy The Case for Faith by Lee Strobel. That'll help you understand. This is by far the greatest book ever written, and the discoveries have shown this. And so verse 4, the church has added this in because that's what we found in the older manuscripts. And verse 4 said, when this was all going, from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. Now, some historians, since we found this pool of Bethesda, and we have found it, They said, we found some interesting things 100 years later, dated 100 years after this incident with Jesus and this man. They found statues of some of the Greek gods, a lot of Athenian influence in the area, okay? And, yeah, I mean, you had the Romans there and everybody there. So they found and they've uncovered these statues of these goddesses that were worshipped for medicine. And they found this woman statue, and it has a serpent next to her. She's holding a staff, and there's a serpent wrapped around it. And they believe that pool had medicine in it. You got in that pool for healing. And so a lot of archaeologists are saying that's interesting because that influenced us as Americans today with our American Medical Association. We have a snake wrapped around a pole that shows for medicine. Okay, so now you got the history, okay? Now let's take a look at this. So there's a stirring here. Now we have pools. They believe, well, maybe that bubbling and that stirring was from minerals deep in the earth. We have those. Tomorrow I fly to see my son in Rapid City, South Dakota, where they have hot springs, and there's mineral waters for healing. I mean, it's very good for you to go sit in those mineral waters. Iceland, the nation there, people fly from all over the world for healing powers of the minerals that are released in these waters. And they believe at certain times, some would say, at certain times, minerals were released causing bubble moments of stirring, and so those minerals are there, jump in for healing. Okay. Now, the Bible says, for a season, or different seasons, or time to time, an angel of the Lord stirred the waters. That's what the Bible says. So I thought, well, what are we going to bring out this morning? We got to get our shaker out. So I brought a shaker. This is Tyler's shaker. Where are you at, Tyler? Is there a Tyler? I don't know if there is a Tyler. There is a Tyler. Here you go. Here, oop, catch that. Here, can somebody, there you go, Tyler. Can you throw that back up to me? There you go. Is it your name Tyler? Oh, that's awesome. Could you throw that back up here? Thank you. Okay. Tyler. Here we go. Thank you. That is amazing. That bad boy is ready to... All right. That's fine. So anyway... Oh. Sorry. We just need to shake it up because here it is. When things are shaking up, listen, we've got to get into the shaking. We can live in the stagnant of our faith, and we can sit for 38 years. And we could sit for 38 years and never have this. What we get after 38 years of just getting used to our life is we get this. And when we get this, this is what we get. Oh. Somebody's been in the well. Amanda, where are you at? Oh, no. Oh, thank you. You know, there's people from Croswell that have been up in this well before. Apparently, Amanda's been here. You know what's amazing about my faith? If my faith sits dormant, the Apostle Paul says we need to stir up our faith. What's amazing is God is sending an angel to stir up our faith. God is trying to let us know there's a healing power in the water. When the woman came to the well and said, I'm thirsty, and Jesus said, hey, if you want a drink, ask me. And she said, are you greater than Jacob? He said, honey, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink, and you'd have water welling up inside of you. I mean, it would be shaken and growing and moving. And moving. Now, when I did this in youth years ago, I could bounce this thing, and it would come back up. And I did that, and on the eighth time of thinking I was so smart, whoa, it blew up and baptized the entire front row. And I used Coca-Cola. I didn't use Pepsi. Because I wanted the real thing and not the choice of the next generation. But you know what happens? This man says, I can't get in there. I've been here for 38 years. I can't get into this thing. And can you help me? And I'll tell you, the angel is stirring these things up. And what I want to say is there are certain seasons in our lives where God is stirring things up, and you have got to get in when it's stirring. My father missed this. I've shared it before. Years ago, a couple farmers and a couple guys in our community of Little Ipswich, South Dakota, and Aberdeen said, "We're going to start a business. Bob, you want in?" He put $10,000 in, said, "Yep, I'm in." His brother said, "No, this is kind of a silly thing. Don't do it." And little Johnny Hoffman that I went to school with, and Mick and Jim Thayer's two brothers, I graduated with one of them with 49 students. They said, "We're in." And my dad took his money out, and he missed out. The water was stirring for something big. It was a little thing called the Super 8 Motel chain that they started, okay? So I graduated with a couple of multi-millionaires right now, and my dad had that opportunity, but he pulled that out because he was a little nervous. Because here it is, when the water is stirring in the season, we don't get in because oftentimes we're afraid. We don't get in because of fear. I mean, good grief, fear. Fear will move you. Fear moves people. In the first service, moved them right out of the whole front area. Fear will do that. And you know what fear does? It's the people who are closest. When you start shaking things up in your life, the people who are closest to you aren't sure they like that. But you got to ask yourself the question, do I want to be dormant, stagnant, and sitting in my current condition over and over again, crippled, lame, or do I want God's healing, moving power in my life? Then you got to shake it up. You got to shake it up. And a lot of people don't like that. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the opportunities. Columbus said, "Hey guys, you want to go sailing? Sure, we'll go. Where are you going?" And he pulls out a map. Says, "We're going and finding a new world." And they looked at that map, and every map said the world was flat, we're going to fall off. But that wasn't the scariest part. They believed that giant serpents were swallowing ships that never came back. And so it said, "Here there be dragons." And on every map it said that. So my question today is, your walk with God, where are your dragons? What's keeping you from exploring new worlds and saying, "God, let's shake it up. Shake it up." Moses, walking out in that wilderness, "God, this is awesome." And Moses walks out in that wilderness. God says, "Let's go. We're going to a land flowing with milk and honey." Could you imagine waterfalls of milk and honey? This is going to be awesome. And Moses gets there. He says, "Let's do this." And all of a sudden, fear, dragons showed up. And the spies came back and said, "No." 38 years, this man sat crippled. And he's now just within feet of healing. And he can't get there. And who knows what's keeping him from getting in time? Friends getting him there. But listen, Moses is in the wilderness, and a little bit of history will show you this, that Moses is standing looking at the promised land, and God says, "You can't go in now. You chose not to go in. For 38 years, you're going to sit here and you're going to die not walking into your faith." Because they'd already spent 2 years exploring the land, and going into Kadesh Barnea was about 2 years. And so it was another 38 years that Moses didn't get in the water of the Jordan and walk into the promise of God. I'm wondering what's keeping you from walking into the water and getting into the promise of God. 38 years and 38 years, I don't know how long you've been waiting, but trust me, God is on his way. God is on his way. And so you got to shake it up. You got to shake that thing up. The theme of the book of John is this. 90 times the book of John says the word believe or faith. That's a good book to read if you're trying to increase your faith. You should go home and consume it. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So the second thing, you don't need to just shake it up. It's not going to do you any good unless you open it up. No, come here, brother. Want a drink? Ready? No, we can't do that. You do it too. That's what I love about you, Trevor. You're not afraid, and you know what kind of a mess this is going to make? And you know how many friends I meet that I invite them into this place of God where God can do miraculous things on a daily basis? There's an anointing and a favor of God that wants to move like this. This isn't a once in a 38 year. This is a once in every moment, constant thing that God does. And you're willing to do that. You're willing to do that because you're not afraid of what's about to happen. I hear my wife over there getting very nervous. I thought it was this making noise. It wasn't. It was her. So you could do that because if you don't open it up, you can't taste and see that the Lord is good. are you telling me we're going to have an entire sermon over a Coke, a cola? Yes, I'm telling you that. Because if you don't shake it up, you don't get that power going in your life. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to spin and to move those waters and the minerals inside of you to release what God put inside you, then it's not going to happen. Welcome back. But it doesn't do us any good. Yes, yeah, go ahead. It doesn't do us any good if it's not opened up. You have to open it up. This guy, for 38 years, Jesus asked this question in verse 6. Can you believe he had to even ask him this question? Do you want? Why would you even ask that question? Look at that. Do you want? 38 years, I think the answer is yes. But I'm going to say this as clear as I can. There are too many Christians that say no. God says, do you want this life? We want it without conditions. Some of you are taking notes. I'm going to say this fast. You can get it online later. We want it, but here's how we want it. It's hard for some people to change. People have been blowing up my status as a pastor because right now, as much as we just passed a law in our nation, I seem to be getting attacked for simply believing what I want to believe. And people are blowing it up. You don't know anything about the Bible, Pastor. God loves everybody. I say, well, of course God loves everybody. And then everybody is God's child. No, they're not. The children of God are the people of God who've been brought into his family through their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus even said to some of the Pharisees and other people, he said, you're not children of God, you're children of your father, the devil. See, just because we're born in this world does not make us children of God. Not everybody is my brother or sister in Christ. Now, I will say this, they are loved by God. But here's what everybody's saying. Well, every sin is the same. And I'm like, yes. I agree 100%. And listen, well, what are we going to do with this? Well, here's the problem. And Christians are, I'm not saying un-Christian, Christians are blowing up my status. And they're saying, Pastor, you're just wrong. I'm not wrong. Because if I'm wrong, then God's wrong. So here it is. You're wrong. And here it is. Sin is sin, and it's the way it is. But here's what we want. We want the power of God. We want the blessing of God. We want the blessing. Here it is. We want the position without the disposition. We want the position of being a child of God without the disposition of changing our mind about sin. I don't want to think differently, but I want blessings differently. I want the salvation, but not the revelation. I want the healing, but not the obedience. I want the blessing without the obedience. I want the rights without the rules. I want the belief without the Bible. I want the ceremony without the conditions. I want to go to heaven, but I want to live like hell. That's what's going on. And I'm just going to say as clear as I can, God hasn't changed his mind. So you say, well, what are we going to do about it? I'm going to shake it up, and then I'm going to open it up. And I, not here. I don't want to open up those showers of blessings in church. Because what are we going to do about it? Well, here it is. God hasn't changed. What does that mean? It means I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. What is that? I'm going to love everybody because God loves everybody. What are you going to do about marriage? I'm going to still do marriage because I believe that God says it's between a man and a woman. What are you going to do about it if a man and a man? I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. I believe that this is what marriage is. Nobody's asking me, what are you going to do about the gossip in the church? The same thing I did last week. Don't gossip in this church. I'm going to still love you, but I may not let you gossip here. What are you going to do about the murder? I'm going to put my arms around just like they did in South Carolina. What a difference when Christians are involved in murder. Because we love people, but God doesn't change his rules. And everybody's all of a sudden a theologian. Oh, here's what the Bible says. And I just go, really? Not a scripture to be had. We just want to talk about our feelings instead of our faith. We want to be led by a sitcom and a song instead of doctrine and dogma. How does it make me feel? Well, I don't care how it makes you feel. Shake it up, and guess what? Jesus is about to stir it up, and when you open it up, those who are closest to you may not like it. Because the minute you allow the Holy Spirit to start coming out of your life, everything gets messy. And here come the religious people, all the religious people, didn't say Christians, and they go, "Who healed you?" And I love his answer. "I don't know." And it says in your Bible, it says these words, "He had no idea." I don't even know who did this. All I know, it was awesome. Because when Jesus gets in your life, you may not understand it, but it's awesome. But it doesn't give you the excuse to live by feelings. You got to get into his word, because here's the last part. And by the way, there are some people who don't want to get healed. They just like living in their condition for 38 years. "I don't know. If I get healed, what's going to happen to me? If I get healed, what's going to happen to me? If I get healed, what's going to happen to me? I don't know." 9 years ago, God said, "Hey, here's what you do, because when you walk by faith and not by sight, start a church." I said, "I'm going to start a church." I went to my pastor, and I said, my district supervisor, I said, "I want to start a church. God's called me to start a church." He says, "You're not." He says, "This is going to cost you your denomination." And I said, "That's okay, because God is shaking it up. He's stirring it up in my life, and I'm getting in. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if the world is flat. I don't know if there's dragons, but trust me, I'm getting on board, because I'm not missing that boat." And here we are. Welcome to the boat. Welcome to the ark, because this is what God's doing. He's changing lives, baptizing people, lives and marriages, and children and youth are getting changed, because I didn't want to miss that boat. What are you going to do? Don't miss that boat. And he asked him, "Who is this fellow?" I want to close the service with this, because here it is. I can shake this thing up. I can open this thing up, but I've got to mix this thing up. And this is very important. We don't want to miss this. In the close of this service, I don't want you to miss this moment. There's one other thing that Jesus said. After this guy's healed, and by the way, he doesn't get in the water to get healed. Did you notice that? He never gets in the pool. Jesus goes, "Stand up, take up your mat." He picks up his condition, and he says, "My condition has carried me for 38 years. I'm about to carry my condition for the first time in my life." It's changing everything. The Pharisees get him, and Jesus finds him later on. And look what he says. Look what he says in verse 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen." Now, this is something that most of the world doesn't want to talk about. Stop sinning. "Okay, God, I'm going to agree with you." It's called repentance. "I'm going to agree with you. I am no longer, I'm not happy about this. My mind's different about the way I used to live. I don't like that. I'm coming into agreement with you, and I hate my sin. I don't hate myself. I hate my sin. When I come into that agreement, I have now repented, and I walk away from that. I'm not going to let Wall Street define my finances. I'm not going to let the U.S. government write laws and say, well, that's the way it is. They don't write laws for me. You don't understand what I'm saying. They don't define my morality. And I don't let Hollywood define my sexuality. I let God stop sinning, or something worse may happen. I saved you from that. Now don't go do it anymore." Whatever he was doing, you know what? We don't like that. We like the, "Hey, you healed me." And he tells every single one of them. So when people say to me, "Well, no sin is different. You know, this sin is the same as that sin." Yes, that's true. Absolutely true. But the key word here is it's a sin, which means stop doing it. Because no sin is going into heaven. Not mine, not yours. Not the liar, not the cheater, not the whoremonger, not the murderer, not the whatever it is. No sin's going into heaven. So I'm going to get a heart and a mind that says, "I'm going to stop sinning. God, I don't like that anymore." Doesn't mean I won't make mistakes. It just means I don't like that anymore. I can't be perfect in this world, but I can perfectly hate what I used to do. I don't like that anymore. Too many people, we need to change our theology. Let me close with this. We need to change our theology. Sonia was sharing with us in staff meeting this week. She says, how many people are just waiting for that angel to come. Sir, we're waiting for Jesus to come and do something. We're looking for moments, for visitations. Can I tell you something? Stop looking for visitations. That stopped 2,000 years ago where Jesus was doing house calls, visiting. He now does habitation. God inhabits us through the Holy Spirit. You see, he says, I don't have to keep coming back and visiting you. I'm going to go up to heaven, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live with you. So you don't have to say, come, Holy Spirit. He's already with you. I've received the Holy Spirit. Have you? I got into the water, and there was something in the water. In 1983, I got into the water, and it changed my life. It stirred something in me. It changed me. I walked away from everything. And I'll tell you what, God has been with me since that time, and he's never changed. I mean, we can ask for his unction. We can ask for special anointings and favor. Yes, yes, yes. But I tell you, he's with me all the time. And so that stirring is always with me. It's always with me. Oh, wait a minute. There's one more thing. We should take this with us. It's called a Mentos. I don't understand this. It was for my breath at greeting time. You know... If you put a Mentos in here, you're basically getting the 4th of July. Jesus Christ is the Mentos of my life. And in Matthew chapter 27, anything you put Jesus into only is going to produce an incredible explosion of life out of. Jesus came into my life when I got saved. And he has just been exploding out of my life ever since. In Matthew chapter 27, the tombs broke open. See, you put Jesus into a dead place, the tombs will break open, and the bodies of holy dead people are going to be raised to life. In verse 33, they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city because you put that kind of Mentos into dead things. And I'm telling you, folks, dead people are going to rise up. You can't put Jesus into a graveyard and not expect everybody coming home for dinner. So I just want you to know this morning, if you've never allowed Jesus Christ to get into you, go ahead and put the Mentos of God, the Savior, the Son of God, the Emmanuel, the God with us, the Wonderful, the Savior, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Rose of Sharon, the Fairest of 10,000, the Alpha, the Omega, the Beginning and the End. If you have not gotten him in, you don't know what it's like to have the power of God flowing through you on a daily basis. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, you are the stirring of our water. This morning, we've made some people a little nervous. So God, this morning, I pray if we walk out of this building and we allow you to shake us up, maybe you'll make a few people around us nervous. But God, the benefits are far better. So help us, God, walk by faith. Help us to have the Holy Spirit unleashed in us. Stir our faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless.